The greatest strategy weapon in modern rugby is dead. And in this episode, you are going to get a front row seat to the truth behind Russie Rasmus's new strategy and what it means for the future of the Springboks. So where does this thought come from in the first place? We made 6-2 and then 7-1 bench splits famous. Dr. Russie Rasmus routinely selected 6 forwards among his 8 replacements. People like Matt Williams didn't like it, of course, calling it unethical and against the spirit of the game. Whatever that means. It famously became known as the Bomb Squad. It went a step further in 2023 when Jacques Nienaber went 7-1 in the Qatar Airways Cup match before the Rugby World Cup, and then again twice during the tournament. Russie alternated between 6-2 and 5-3 last year, but in 2025, Doc has opted to go 5-3 every time this year, except the first test against Italy. So what is going on? Is the bomb squad tactic a thing of the past? We've seen other teams copy this strategy, and now, just as that has become normalized, Russie switches and does something else. Don't you just love how he is always thinking outside of the box? Always looking to disrupt. This is what I think is going on, guys. Going 5-3 gives you more options in the backline. Now you might say to me, Pete, we already knew that. And the rest of the world already knew that too. And that's why there was all this controversy around 6-2, 5-3, and even 7-1. Hear me out. Because 5-3 also covers you in the event of a third injury among the backs, and I know you knew that too. And while it's rare, I grant you, but we saw in the Springboks' record-breaking 43-10 win over the All Blacks on Saturday that sometimes it does indeed happen. And given our changing style of play, it looks like more backline options or even backup is going to be important. So you can call it Tony Ball if you like, but this is how I see it. We are still using our forwards as big bruisers. We saw that. It was evident in that 43-10 dominant win over the All Blacks. No one can say that any of our forwards didn't carry hard and gain meters. They still happily took the ball into contact too. The tackling was ferocious. We scrummed with proficiency. And sure, there wasn't all that much mauling, but that's still a weapon in our armory. And speaking of those pods, there was something a bit more traditional about the way we attacked on Saturday in that record-breaking 43-10 victory over the All Blacks, I thought. In any event, this more expansive game involves the whole team. Yes, the forwards are going to do the hard work up front, and they will also look for opportunities to attack. And you might say, well, in the sort of pod system that we saw pretty much between the 2019 period and up until today, the forwards were also part of the attacking, sort of 3-4-5-man pods, even 2-man in some cases, in the back line. However, whether it's an old-fashioned pick-and-drive or a Jasper Visser wrecking ball carry, it's still going to apply. But it seems to me that the key now is no longer bringing on an almost entirely fresh pack of forwards. World Rugby mandates that we have to have a fresh front row that can come on. So that's going to always be there. But after that, I reckon someone like Argie Snyman comes on for an Eben or a Luit, and Quagga comes on for Sia. And you move 3 pieces in the back line. And Bob's your uncle. That's certainly what it's looking like to me. Bear in mind that on Saturday, Kobus Reinach looked like a 25-year-old rather than 35. I still rate Grant Williams as our best scrum half, but certainly between the two of them, I think we have the most amount of flair. And in terms of flair, you would not look past Marnie Lebok as your fly half. Although personally, I would pick Sasha Feinberg and Ngome Zulu at 10. Damian Willemse played like a man from a different galaxy on Saturday in Wellington. And don't forget, he played most of the match at fullback after Apelele Fassi was put in a moon boot. So in that sense, we didn't actually get to see what Willemse was meant to do from inside centre. How scary is that thought? For our opponents, of course, not for us. Very, very exciting for us. Now, with that in mind, I do not think the time has come to say that this is the end of the road for players like Andre Pollard, Damian Diallendi, or Jesse Creel. I believe they still have a lot to offer. And this is the important bit, guys. Russie is not going to go 5-3 every single week. Yes, the Tony Ball approach truly clicked on Saturday at the Cake Tin. But you know, as well as I do, that Doc loves to keep the opposition guessing. And perhaps even more importantly, there are times when the conditions simply do not allow for that kind of running rugby. It could be a wet, soggy Aviva Stadium, Stade de France or Twickenham. But it could also be a Rugby World Cup final. It would be a very brave strategy to go into a final and just attack. Yes, we have seen it before, but let me just clear that up a bit. New Zealand in 1987 and Australia in 1999 ran the ball, but the match had largely already been won. Those two sides ran the ball against each other in 2015, but even then it was calculated attacking. South Africa ran the ball in 2019 after establishing a big enough lead. That led to this.
They come and losing it. Arms there, pops up in a toy. Here comes Jason Colby. Colby bounces towards defence. Big one, still going. Jason Colby. Jason Colby. South Africa. The World Cup is theirs.
It never gets old. And England, who you saw in that clip, ran the ball in 1991, famously, with disastrous consequences. So the future is not necessarily as easy to predict as we might think here. Overall, I'm going to say the bomb squad tactic is not dead. But I would say it looks to me that it is currently considered old-fashioned, at least within the Springbok camp. The likes of Fabien Galtier, Andy Farrell and Steve Borthwick have latched onto it, but it appears Doc has already moved on. So what's your take? Is the bomb squad a thing of the past, or is Russie just keeping everyone guessing? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I'd like to encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. There are great benefits if you do so. The link is in the description area down below. You could win yourself the brand new Eben Etzebeth biography that's coming out soon. You could win yourself the brand new James Small biography that's coming out in the next few weeks. You could also get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. Maybe have quarterly Zoom calls where we discuss Springbok matches, tactics, old players, history, all that sort of stuff. You might even be able to get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online merchandise store, as well as win yourself Springbok merchandise and cool gear. But in order to make that happen, you need to sign up as a patron. Head on over to my Patreon page and click on the link below. It'll get you there. Why do I want you to do that? Well, I would love to do this full time, and I would love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under with daily coverage. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Zim. And any support will be greatly appreciated. Head on over there, click on that link, sign up as a patron, and I'll see you next time.